But I think we will still have, of course, the situation of unwanted pregnancies. And I think abortion is a fact of life.
When people say that scientific formulas are beautiful, I think it's more of a reflection of it's amazing that it actually works.
If you can't trust a Swiss banker, what's the world come to?
Welcome to our program for October the 5th. I'm Susan Fogel-Masika in Bern. A decade ago, Swiss law changed to allow abortion on request in the first 12 weeks of pregnancy. Since then, the abortion rate has gradually gone down. In 2011, the rate was 6.8 per 1,000 women aged between 15 and 44. This is quite low compared to the United Kingdom, where it was 17.5 per 1,000 women last year. In the United States, it was 16 per 1,000 in 2008. Switzerland's low abortion rate can be attributed partly to efficient contraception, according to Johannes Bitzer. He's the head of obstetrics and gynecology at University Hospital in Basel.
The number could be less, certainly. I think there are still gaps in good contraceptive options, or that women find the one that suits them. We do have a relatively large number of gynecologists who work in the field of what is actually primary health care. I mean, in some Anglo-Saxon countries, this work is done by generalists or general practitioners. I mean, they do a wonderful job, but I think contraception is a very small part of their concern.
But he pointed out that unwanted pregnancies would always be an issue.
Of course, we are very much trying to improve contraception. Prevalence and contraceptive efficacy and satisfaction with contraception. But I think we will still have, of course, the situation of unwanted pregnancies. And I think abortion is a fact of life.
A fact that some people are not willing to accept. An initiative called Abortion is a Private Matter seeks to remove abortion from the list of procedures covered by general health insurance. Parliamentarian Peter Fohn, a member of the right-wing Swiss People's Party, is co-president of the initiative committee.
I personally am not prepared to co-finance an abortion, and I also don't expect people who are against abortion and condemn it to have to do so.
The initiative makes an exception for cases when the mother's life is in danger and for pregnancies that result from rape. It is due to come before a nationwide vote next year. You can read more about the topic on our website, including first-hand accounts, as told to Swiss Info journalist Claire O'Dea. Can science be beautiful? American physicist James Wells thinks it can. He recently participated in an innovative arts program at CERN, the world's largest particle physics laboratory. There he collaborated with German artist Julius von Bismarck. Swiss Info video journalist Raffaella Rossello met him in Geneva and asked if he thinks the universe, with all its hidden dimensions, can be considered beautiful.
So I've been a staff member at CERN Theory Group since 2007. My research specialty is on Higgs boson physics and understanding how Higgs boson can be produced and decay at a collider, and the implications of that for beyond the standard model physics. One of my specialties, my second specialty, is on ideas that take us beyond the standard theory that is in textbooks and lead us to new ideas and new theories that can be tested by experiment.
I think I've read somewhere, I'm not sure who said this, might have been Einstein or it might have been somebody else, who said that when you go deeper into studying universe, you see the beauty of it, and actually the formulas have an aesthetic in themselves. They're very elegant.
I don't think of it the same way as I think of seeing a piece of art. I understand those words that people, famous scientists, have used about their theories are beautiful and that's how they know they're correct. Some scientists even go so far to say that's how I know my theory was correct because it was beautiful. There's been a lot of things that I think people have thought were beautiful that were wrong. And so I'm not sure that it's a guide to truth, so to speak, in the universe. When people say that scientific formulas are beautiful, I think it's more of a reflection of it's amazing that it actually works. Something so simple that I can write down in 20 strokes of a pen can have such power and control over physical phenomena, and I can predict them. And there's something beautiful, for lack of a better word, about that. But it doesn't have the same, it's not the same beauty as Michelangelo's artistic works.
But does your heart beat when you find out something you predicted or you wanted it to be true?
Yes, a scientist will feel an emotion that I'm not sure I would call aesthetic, but when you have equations and you're working on a theory and you know they need to simplify into something that shows the structure in a much simpler manner, then it doesn't look like that's going to happen, and you work and work and work on it, and suddenly you see that a page full of formulas collapses down to one simple line, and lots of people will call that beautiful. There was that you know, it was just beautiful how the theory worked out, and that terminology is used quite a bit, and I think it's connected to simplicity, that it became much simpler than we ever thought it would be. And scientists oftentimes use the words simple and beautiful interchangeably.
For you, what is your vision of the universe after studying year after year? Mm-hmm. Is it becoming more beautiful or more complex? What do you think about nature, the universe, in terms of, obviously you don't think bad, evil, good, but... But as a human being, sometimes you must also be confronted with that question.
I think what I've learned from, or what has impressed upon me by my science education and my science career, is this feeling that the universe is impersonal to your existence, to my existence. And that's a feeling that's both liberating and scary. It's liberating because I don't think the universe is out to get me if I do something wrong, in quotes. But I also, it's a bit scary that you're sort of on your own. And science and the nature of the scientific enterprise is a very impersonal one. And so we could be skewed and biased by virtue of how we approach the world. This is our tool to approach the world, is through this impersonal mathematics and this impersonal approach. And so it rubs off on you over time that that's the way it is. And that's informed research, that it's informed research on the Copernican revolution, that humans are not the center of the universe, that we're traveling around the sun rather than everybody else traveling around us. And I think it informs our present day research that there's a lot more particles in the world and a lot more interactions in the world that don't have anything to do with us. And we want to go out and find them.
Visit us at swissinfo.ch to see a video about CERN's experimental artist-in-residency program.
Looking at our present situation, strictly as a banker, I would have to say that the numbers are not on your side.
Well, perhaps you fail to take into account my hidden assets.
October 5th is Global James Bond Day, marking the 50th anniversary of the 007 film series. There are a number of connections between Switzerland and James Bond, according to Swiss Info journalist and film buff Thomas Stevens.
Bond is, of course, half Swiss. His mother, Monique Delacroix, she came from Canton Vaud until she died in a climbing accident in Chamonix. And also Ian Fleming, who wrote 12 Bond novels after the Second World War, he spent time in Switzerland. He studied briefly at Geneva University. It appears that he used quite a lot of his experiences in Switzerland and Austria. He put them into the Bond novels. Bond is also said to have studied at Geneva University.
Switzerland has also served as the backdrop in several 007 films.
There's that famous ski scene in The Spy Who Loved Me. Also, there's that great scene at the top of the Schilthorn in the Bernese Oberland, the revolving restaurant in On Her Majesty's Secret Service, when George Lazenby, when Bond pushes a baddie into a snowblower. red snow everywhere. And also GoldenEye. The beginning of GoldenEye is one of the greatest stunts ever when there's this massive dam and Bond, or rather a stuntman, jumps off it. He set a world record at the time. That's the Vitaska Dam down in Ticino. But you'd have no idea. I mean, if you look at that, there's no way of knowing that that's Switzerland.
For the Swiss tourism sector, Bond is great for business.
The tourism officials, they've been toasting Bond for the past 50 years. The Schilthorn, for example, the revolving restaurant, you can go there and have James Bond breakfast buffets. They charge about 30 francs, I think, for it, martini not included. And you can go and bungee jump off the Vitaska Dam if that's what you like doing.
Yet 007 has helped cast somewhat of a shadow on Swiss banking. Here's a clip from The World Is Not Enough, with Pierce Brosnan in the role of James Bond.
So good of you to come see me, Mr. Bond, particularly on such short notice.
If you can't trust a Swiss banker, what's the world come to?
And that wasn't the only such comment from the film.
There's a scene in The World Is Not Enough from 1999 when Bond is speaking to a Swiss banker and they're doing some sort of business. And the banker says, "I'm just trying to return the money to its rightful owner." And Bond replies, "And we know how hard that is for a Swiss banker," referring to the dormant Jewish accounts affair.
But if you asked Swiss people about James Bond, many would probably think of a sexy actress from the suburbs of Bern.
Oh, definitely. I mean, Ursula Andress from Dr. No in 1962, 50 years ago, she is considered by many today to be the quintessential Bond girl. I mean, that image of her coming out dripping from the sea in a teeny-weeny white bikini is an iconic image of cinema. And she ended up having to be dubbed because her Swiss German was so heavy that no one could understand her. But apart from that, it was her springboard to an international career.
The role of women in Bond films is the topic of a related article, which you can find online at swissinfo.ch. And that's all we have time for this week, except for a little 007 music. Thanks for listening. I'm Susan Fogel-Masika.